Have you ever returned to the home that you grew up in as a child? It's a great way to uncork the memory bottle. Roger Foley Fogg grew up on a quiet street in Mossman on Sydney's North Shore, and it's a long way in every sense from the life that he went on to live as an artist doing psychedelic light sculpture in the 1960s and his time with the legendary Yellow House Artist Collective in Sydney's King's Cross. Well, producer Regina Botros recently took Roger back to his childhood home, where that artistic spirit was first triggered by sunlight shining through the bathroom window.
I'm Roger Foley Fogg. I put the fog on the end of my name because in the 60s, when I was doing a lot of crazy things that seemed to attract a lot of attention, I called myself LSD Fogg. So LSD Fogg was more of a collective name for the group of people. And then later on, when I started making more permanent artworks, I wanted to combine the two names, Roger Foley and LSD Fogg. So I called myself Roger Foley hyphen Fogg. We're passing Mossman High School. And we turn left at the next corner, which is Raglan Street. Well, imagine this ride down this hill on a billy cart with a handmade stick as a brake. Oh, it's scary now, just looking at it now. It's scary, scary. I was born in 1942, January 24, and that's one day after the Japanese attacked Rabaul Harbour in Papua New Guinea, and my mother got the last plane out of Rabaul before the Japanese attack. And they only got as far as Cairns when I was born. And in fact, I was the only baby in Cairns, because all the babies and small children had been shipped south of Brisbane. But after a week or so, came to Sydney, and then we went out into the country, Dubbo, with some friends out there. And we then bought this beautiful Californian bungalow made of blue bricks. And I was brought up there until the age of 15.
How does it feel coming back here?
Oh, I'm getting lots of little memory buzzes, you know. There was Yvonne in the house next door who used to flash at me across the fence from her bedroom window to mine.
I suppose it's quite a confusing time.
Well, it is very, very confusing for us boys. I think the women seemed to know what they were doing, but the boys were all confused. But then I went to the Boy Scouts and we even got more confused. So all my youth I spent in this area where we are now. Shall we go over there, look over the fence? See, that's not our house at all. Look at that.
It's quite a highly situated...
It's postmodern, two-tone, dirty grey prison architecture, I'd call it, right? With little slits where machine guns could easily poke out. Yeah, it doesn't look very friendly, does it? And there's a huge hedge down the back where beautiful garden used to be. Well, I think the garden's disappeared. So many people lost their tennis courts for economic reasons. It has a beautiful view from the veranda at the back of the whole of the harbour down there, from Spitbridge through to nearly to the Heads and across to Manly. Yeah, well, there you go. That was my playground. That was where I fantasised about being Biggles. And I had a pet blue-tongue lizard that used to come out for food. The other thing about living in Mossman is that Richard Neville lived up the road. I went to his 12th birthday, actually, and he got into trouble because there was a popular mechanics magazine or something, and in the back of it was an advertisement where you could send away and buy a gun. And he sent away to America and bought a gun, and they posted it to him. Right. And my mother said, oh, he's a very naughty boy. But she said it with a glint of fun in her eye. So I thought, oh, I want that kind of reaction from my mother. And who? You know, so I thought, I can be naughty too. And I actually wanted to become a sculptor at that time. I wanted to sculpt with light. I remember discovering and being fascinated by anything that moved, and one of the things that fascinated me was the way that the shadows and the images of the sun move around when they're shining through the leaves of trees, which are sort of slowly waving in the breeze. And I liked also that effect even more when it shone through the bathroom window with the crinkled glass on the bathroom window. And we had an old bathtub, claw-footed bathtub, and I'd love filling it up with hot water. I love sitting in a hot tub. I still do. And it wasn't until 1966 when the American psychedelic movement happened on the West Coast. You had the Flower People, and on the East Coast you had Lou Reed and Randy Warhol, Exploding Plastic and Nevermore and all that stuff. Two totally different styles, but all to do with light and music and entertainment and happenings and freedom. That was when I realised that actually, maybe I could actually earn a living doing this fun stuff. By my side, early dawning.
Pretty busy road.
Yes, well, it's the main road down to the beach.
Yeah, okay.
We can go down there and have a look at the beach.
Want to sit on that bench?
Yeah, sure. Anyway, here we are down at the south end of Balmoral Beach. We can see right across to Manly over there, see?
Are there any difficult stories about that time?
Well, of course, yes. I mean, a lot of photographers used to come down to this secluded part of the beach and take nudie pictures, right? And, of course, us boys would all rush over and have a look. And the photographer had a wonderful idea one day, and he took photographs of us boys watching on the front page of People magazine. And there I was with my mates in living colour, ogling this semi-clad beauty. And my parents were a bit outraged and embarrassed. And then the scout hall behind us here, you know, I was sent off to the Ballet Scouts. I didn't have a lot of friends. I was sort of a bit of a loner. Anyway, that became a notorious expertise because the scout master was gay. Well, not that there's anything wrong with that, but he was a pederast and sort of worked his way through the entire Boy Scout troop. And I'm waiting for the class action against Baden-Powell. You know, we've had a very good philosophy for scouting. Good thoughts, good words, good deeds. They were Baden-Powell's mottos for Boy Scouts, right? It's interesting, actually, because the first religion from the worship of fire thousands of years ago, there was the Zoroastrians and the Mithraic religions. Their motto was the same thing. To live a good life, you have to have good thoughts, say good words, and do good deeds. And of course, then, since the Abrahamic religions have grabbed a hold of the franchise, it's all shot to pieces. Here we are. It's very peaceful here, isn't it? But there's a lot of undercurrent of all sorts of funny things going on down here because a lot of sailors had come across from the military barracks there. And they go wandering around at night in these trees and all sorts of suspicious things were going on. My parents used to warn me about talking to the sailors and some of those wicked women that sort of lurked around here and there down this end of the beach. And, of course, up the other end of the beach, that's where all the rock spiders were.
Did your parents know about the scouts?
No. My mum suspected something wrong with the scouts. My father was all a bit too terrified to talk about anything, really. He should have been gay, actually, and my mother should have run the family. My mother was very influential in starting me off as an artist. I remember that in our home, she loved Albert Namatjira's works and had collected reproductions of Albert Namatjira's paintings, which were available in the Woman's Weekly magazine, and she'd framed them and put them on the wall of our house. And I was always quite amazed at the beautiful pop colours in the paintings. And after I brought Hermannsburg Ladies Choir to Sydney to sing for Paul Keating at the Arts for Labour show that we produced to help him win the 93 election, I wanted to go back and visit them and take the movie that we'd made to show them. We rented a car and we went driving down these bush tracks heading towards Papunya, and I came to the crest of a hill, and we had to stop the car. It was so breathtaking, because there in the distance were the hills and mountains of the central desert area, just as Albert Namatjira had painted them. It's very psychedelic. There's a lot of bright orange and there's a lot of bright green, and those two colours clash in your eye brain, and that's psychedelic. And a lot of my light shows use those very colours without me knowing that that's what the colours of Central Australia were.
Except for the fact that they were on the wall in your home?
Well, except for the fact that they were in these reproductions that my mother had on the wall at home. So what I'm doing now actually all began down here. You know, the desire to do something a little different, and the desire to do something using light and also using indeterminate and ephemeral artworks. And life is good.
Look, it's sunny. I thought it was going to rain again.
Just as I said, life is good. The sun came out on beautiful Balmoral Beach and all these people appeared, just like they did in the old days. It has been running through my mind that you're not my kind, but I don't mind. It's just that I'm feeling fine inside my mind. It's my time.
Producer Regina Botros there with light artist Roger Foley Fogg. And if you'd like to see some of Roger's artwork, then head to the Earshot website and follow the links. It's great stuff.